Coming up on podcast 1432, Mercedes-Benz celebrating their electric vans. Stick around, I've got all the details and a lot more. We are talking gifting electric cars as wedding presents. We are talking about electric boat racing. And we are talking about some record numbers of EVs in China. Oh, and a BMW i3 that's not the i3 you think I'm talking about. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It is the first day of a brand new week. It is Monday, the 11th of April. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. We'll start with news of the Porsche Taycan helping out the electricity grid. When EVs aren't being driven, they can feed energy back into public power grids. Add them as part of a wider pool of vehicles, they effectively become a little mini mobile power plant. They can help balance the grid, electrical power that balances out fluctuations in the power grid. According to Porsche, a pilot test conducted by them with their partners demonstrating that electric balancing of power with high voltage batteries inside EVs can work really well. They had five Porsche Taycans all connected to the power grid in a domestic environment. It was in a lab, I know, it's only a trial, but what they're pointing out so that lots of people can learn about this technology with electric vehicles and Porsche getting into this as well, is saying that as renewable energy expands, you need to balance the power grid even more. And so wind power, sun power isn't always consistent. If power grids aren't stabilized, for instance, it has to be at 50 hertz power frequency, you get power cuts, your appliances won't work. Until now, these power plants have been responsible for cushioning fluctuations, but Porsche is saying, look, here's how we do it with five vehicles. What about if we did it with 500,000 vehicles? How drivers of electric cars can be compensated for their contribution to making sure the grid is more robust. I love bringing you stories like this because, look, we've all had experiences on social media. Your crazy uncle at a family event will tell you that, oh, well, as soon as we all drive EVs, the grid's going to collapse and we'll be back to the dark ages again. Actually, EVs, it's so counterintuitive to people who, you know, don't do independent thinking like you and I. Actually, EVs will make the grid better. Electric vehicles, giant energy storage on our driveway, can make you money, make the grid work better, ultimately mean the grid infrastructure is more efficient. So if you're not spending money on the grid infrastructure to take account so that it doesn't black out, that it works at peak demand, there's some really interesting things with home storage, grid storage, EV storage. You can spend less money on infrastructure. Bills actually come down. And my goodness me, do we need our electricity bills to come down at the minute around the world? But again, people who don't understand this stuff can't get their tiny dinosaur brains around it. It's all right. We'll explain it to them again with short words, slowly, and hopefully they'll get it. Right, let's talk about David Beckham gifting his son an all-electric Jaguar. A 1954 all-electric Jaguar XK140 made by a company called Lunaz. They're a company of which he is an investor. Well, David Beckham gave his son Brooklyn, and of course, if you follow popular culture news, you know I'm glued to the tabloids. And he got married over the weekend, by the look of it, which lots of people are talking about. Oh, look what they wore. Oh, nice. Stuff like that. Anyway, I'm more interested in the wedding present, which dad, David Beckham, gave him an all-electric Jaguar XK140. The Clean Air Classic, commissioned by David Beckham, is the work of thousands of hours from 120 highly trained craftspeople, designers and EV technicians at the Silverstone location of Lunaz here in the UK. According to this fully restored and upcycled vehicle, it is classic in every way. It's a classic 1954 Jaguar, but the tech is hidden. Dials and switches are faithful, but you got those little updates to provide information on things like battery level and contemporary functions. These are very exclusive, bespoke, hand-built restorations of classic cars, and as long as you've got a few bob in the bank, I'm sure they would love to sell you one or two. Now we'll talk about some great news coming out of the US. The safety regulator, the NHTSA, NHTSA opening up an investigation into EV batteries after five car makers issued recalls. The inquiry covers 140,000 vehicles with batteries made by LG. And this is great news that there is a government organization having oversight into things like this. It means things will be done properly, battery safety is very important, and it will reassure the end consumer. The agency is writing to LG and other companies that might have bought similar batteries to make sure that they are safe. Data on EV fires is very limited, but this is great news that there is a proper investigation into battery safety. It'll raise the tide. It'll make sure that everyone knows, hey, safety is very, very important. It's taken seriously by government regulators, and I think that does a lot of very good things for everybody involved. The stakeholders, if you like, aren't we all a stakeholder these days, according to corporate speak? Well, there's not too much data on EV fires out there, but there last year, April 2021, the Insurance Industry's Highway Loss Data Institute, I've never heard of them before, I'm not exactly glued to their press releases, but the Highway Loss Data Institute found that EVs and combustion cars had the same number of fire claims per 1,000 vehicles insured. They tracked 10 they tracked 10 vehicles and found that EVs had a 0.19 fire claim rate and gas cars had a 0.2 fire claim rate. What they're suggesting is that EVs set themselves on fire as much as combustion cars, which you know is not true, which I know is not true, which they're using a sample size of 10, which is utterly bonkers and statistically highly irrelevant. And who even knows what those 10 cars are that they picked? But I'm preaching to the converted, I'm guessing, unless this is the first podcast you're listening to. And even then, you're probably interested. You're EV curious, maybe. Look, EVs, we know, are incredibly safe. They don't just set themselves on fire. Oh, like petrol and diesel cars do in an accident, or I guess this is non-crash fire-related data. But still, we know EVs are incredibly safe. Latest batteries are very safe in terms of crushing, in terms of, you know, penetration. There was even a case of, like, Tesla found a bullet in one of their batteries. Somebody bought the car back and was like, it's not working right. And this was years ago, and Tesla took it apart and was like, someone shot it. So, you know, a lot has happened over the years to make EV batteries very safe. That survey is nonsense. And they're very welcome to challenge me on that. I will challenge them on their statistical use of 10 vehicles. All right, let's talk about Tesla delivering impressive output in China, considering they've been shut. Tesla has delivered over 65,000 vehicles at Gigafactory Shanghai last month in March. And that is deeply impressive because there's been some shutdowns. The CPCA, the China Passenger Car Association, gave the March numbers out, and Tesla China made 65,814 vehicles, and 60 of them were for exports. You know, I was talking about either yesterday on the podcast about how they, the first month or two, it's all about getting the cars onto ships. There's boats that go around the world from Shanghai. Well, March, none of them did, right? That was all for the domestic market. The results are impressive because they had two shutdowns in March, and towards the end of the month is the one that is still ongoing all these days later. 190,000 Teslas came from China in the first quarter, so those figures are pretty consistent. 65,000, 66,000 for the month, and 190,000 for the first quarter. And that still means that Giga Shanghai is Tesla's most important vehicle production facility. And to be shut down now, what we're on, 11th of April, still shut down. Thousands of cars every week not being made in that facility is a huge, huge blow for Tesla. But, of course, it's closed for public health reasons, which we all understand. Right, let's talk about the world's first all-electric boat, race boat. acing its first test, according to Interesting Engineering. The E1 World Electric Powerboat Series. It's like Formula One for race boats. And they're really, really powerful and quick. The E1 series will be an electric version of the F1H20 powerboat racing series, using a hydrofoil design. So they rise up on the water, allowing them to be lifted about 40 centimetres, about 16 inches, 40 centimetres over the surface of the water. The boats are called the Race Bird. And the Race Bird were tested earlier today, and it was engineered by a team led by the guy behind Formula E and Extreme E, Alejandro Agag, also former director of motorsport at McLaren, Roddy Basso, who I've worked with before. Good guy. And he's leading that along with the designers as well. Looking forward to any kind of electric racing. Look, I love any kind of motorsport competition. Power it however you want with fossil juice or electrons, and I'll be there watching. So looking forward to following progress of that. Coming up on the podcast very soon, we will talk about Mercedes-Benz vans and the BMW i3. But yeah, no, not the one you think I'm talking about. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about general China numbers, China's wholesale sales of electric cars. You know, I talked about the Tesla number being like 65,000. Across all EV makers in China, 455,000 units in the month of March. That is 122% up year on year. The China numbers continue to be deeply impressive. 371,000 pure EVs, 84,000 PHEVs, and we are well over a million EVs sold so far in China. Volkswagen, Shanghai joint venture, also pausing operations. Toyota's joint venture pausing as well, suspended since mid-March. It's not just Tesla that's having these issues in China. China buyers rushing to place orders, by the way, worried that Tesla might raise prices even further. They're seeing what's happening in the rest of the world, in the US and Europe, and getting those orders into Tesla China. Staying in China, the BMW i3. That is an electric 3 Series. When I say i3, what the image you have in your head of the i3, well, it's not that. It's an electric version of the 3 Series sedan. The king is dead. Long live the king, so to speak. We thought the i3 badge was going, but clearly not. One way to sum up what BMW has in store for this is to have a look at the video that they've put online to talk about how that combustion engine 3 Series is going electric. And it gets air suspension, which is very, very cool, only for the rear axle. And it'll be about ride quality, I would think, to improve that in the back of the BMWs. Long overdue, when equivalent Mercedes C-classes have had Airmatic for a long time. It says BMW blog. The facelifted 3 Series, of course, on sale in China as a long wheelbase stretch. But will it go to international markets? Well, surely it has to, because you're going to have the rest of the BMW lineup, i4, i5, i7, etc. You've got to have the i3 on sale, I would say. Next, headline story, Mercedes-Benz is producing more than 25,000 electric vans. What a great milestone for Mercedes-Benz. The Vito E-Cell is how it all started for them many years ago. Current lineup is E-Vito, which is a mid-sized van and a passenger Tourer. There's the E-Sprinter, that's a large van. There's the EQV 300, which is a passenger van, and the E-Vito entering the market back in 2017. E-Sprinter was in 2019, and the EQV is probably a couple of years old now. The next step will be the introduction of small vans, the E-Citan, like the little Renault Kangoo, if you like, and the Nissan Townstar. And also the EQT, a 5-seater and a 7-seater as well. So great news there from Mercedes-Benz. Now, an article that I will give you just a mention of, and maybe it's something that you want to read when you get some 5 minutes. I can't possibly imagine what you'll do for a certain amount of time, perhaps tomorrow morning, where you want to sit down and read something. Well, I don't know, a bit of reading time. The last big obstacle to EVs is a mental fix, and I completely agree with this article written by the Daily Beast. The average American drives less than 40 miles a day, and that is about double European commuting times, distances. Average of 40 miles a day, the average EV, about 250 miles a day. And yet EVs are still only 5% of the US market. Why? Because as technology has improved, the mental case of range anxiety hasn't changed a huge amount. People still have a fear of running out of juice before they get to their destination when surveyed about why they haven't bought an electric car yet. People rarely need public chargers. Now, some people need public chargers every day of the week. They're road trippers. But many people don't. Half of Americans who park in their own driveways or garages can often plug in their own cars overnight. The cost is barely noticeable on your utility bill if you can get some cheap time-of-use electricity. A PricewaterhouseCoopers report estimating that people who drive an average of 10,000 miles a year would spend $1,500 at a pump and yet $300 if you charge at home. As EV charging winds its way into the mainstream, our fueling habits have to adapt. That's just a taste of a brilliant article, and it's all about just changing the mindset, really. Like, the tech is there now. The EVs are on the road. The technology is there. The ranges are absolutely fine. Now, we have to tell people they do go a long way, you know. And that's, that will be the work of the car makers, marketing departments, advertising, and, you know, hopefully the odd dodgy old podcast on the internet that maybe people are listening to learn about EVs. I'll certainly bore you with how brilliant EVs are these days. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com, a brand new one for a brand new week. With the Tesla Cybertruck confirmed as coming next year, will the current crop of EV trucks, the Rivians, the F-150s, the Hummers, steal that market? Or is the Tesla worth waiting for? Email me your answers. hello@evnewsdaily.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, emobilitynorway.com, and Octopus Electric Juice, making public charging simple with one card, one map, and one app. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.